I am in the company of two very distinguished Saturday morning people, Teresa Lowe of Teresa Lowe Enterprises, of course, barrister at law, and also Dr. Lara Dungan, who is in a fetching green number, especially for the day that's in
my Paddy's Day dress. Sorry, Patty's Day dress. Isn't that what you want me to call it, George?
St. Patrick's Day.
Happy St. Patrick's Day to you. Top of the morning.
Yeah. Top of the morning. I'm raging. Another one of my one-man campaigns.
Uh-oh.
St. Patrick's Day.
All right. To ban it or?
No, it's St. Patrick's Day. It's not Paddy's Day.
Oh, just to change the name. It's not. It's Super Saturday is what it is.
I tell you, you're on so much borrowed time.
I know. I just do everything I can to anger you.
All right. Now, as you know, 2 weeks ago, I appallingly presented this programme in which I was facing the sack and I was told I had 1 week left, and then I hit upon a brainwave that if Lara Dungan presented the programme, she might save my backside. And last week, she duly did.
But does she want to?
Well, so we're staying with it. The Saturday sit-in presented by Lara Dungan.
Clue, I did not know this.
Clue, former
president. Will I leave now? Am
no.
I top deliverer?
No.
Introduce the first item, Lara, please.
Yeah. Good,
about
that's
the
good.
Former president of Ireland.
And all of them.
Yep. So on International Women's Day, which was the Thursday of last week, Mary McAleese, who had been uninvited to come to the Vatican City, so had to go to a conference that was held outside of Vatican City, made a speech saying that there was a virus of misogyny in the Catholic Church that had an antidote, which was equality, that had never been used. George, tell me a little bit of what you think about the virus of misogyny in the Catholic Church.
Well, I probably was the first proponent of married female priests.
I that does not surprise me.
I could not understand, Teresa, why you didn't have, like, at a time. Now, it was in my day when I was a kid, you know, they were coming out of Maynooth in their thousands and we didn't have enough jobs for them. At a time when there is a monumental shortage of priests, when the average age is 102, why not have women priests?
Well, I think it will happen. I think it will happen eventually. And you do know that St. Therese of Lisieux, who I was called after, the little flower, she was a huge advocate for women priests as well. She wanted to be a priest.
In 17-old splash.
Well, I don't know. I won't be able to go back that far. But I think it will happen. I mean, there and I think also married priests.
Yeah.
That's going to happen too. I mean, there are married priests at the moment in the Catholic Church, as you know.
Well, I don't know any.
Yeah, there are Anglican priests who've converted to Catholicism.
Oh, yeah.
I think there are some married priests as well in very far remote. I think all these things will happen. Mary McAleese, she called it a misogyny. And
I disagree now.
I admire her so much, but I'm kind of sorry that she went that far. And I think that the Catholic Church has come a long way from the old days. And you would remember the old days, George, and possibly there's been a lot of improvement. And there's one thing I did want to say. While I admire her, she said there aren't strong role models in the church. I would argue against that. I don't think of anybody who's more impressive than the likes of Sister Stan. There are nuns that have taught young women, hundreds of thousands of young women in this country alone, and have inspired them and have affected their lives very positively. So while I admire Mary McAleese so much, I'm very sorry for what she's going through. She sounds so wounded. But
we must differentiate. I'm not going there, Lara Dungan, because Mary McAleese talked about sexual abuse a family member. I don't want to go there.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm happy
Fair enough.
But on another day.
Yeah.
But the day is this thing about, I'm with Teresa here, and I wonder where you are.
Mm.
She went too far in terms of her criticism of the church.
No, I completely disagree, and I know I'm going to offend both of you with this, but I absolutely disagree. I think you have a bucket load of archaicisms in you, but I do think that you have always promoted women, and I do believe you that you think that women would make good priests. I think that there is a dangerous air of misogyny around the church, and I think that they will change solely because they don't want to die. I don't think they'll change for the right reasons, personally. I suspect they probably will, but the horrendous problems that have happened and the things that have happened in this world and in this country, I have no problem with religion whatsoever. I do have a problem with the archaicism in the Catholic Church, and I support Mary McAleese completely in what she said. Yeah.
Well, do you, you see, you can do that, Lord Duncan. You're not a member. No, you're not a member. You're a Protestant. So therefore, it's easily for you to be shouting from the touchline, but you're not a member.
I think it's more believable coming from a woman who is a staunch Catholic. She's a devout Catholic.
I know she is. I know. But can
we also say that about women priests, that I think the Pope has initiated a study into women joining in terms of the diaconate, so that you'll have women deacons. I mean, that's a start. That's something.
Why
so
in 2018 are we making a start? Like, it's just insane that there is not equality in one of the biggest institutions around the entire world, one of the richest, one of the most influential. And we're worried about making
it about power, then? Is that what you're saying? It's about power.
I think equality is the wrong word here. I have to say it's the wrong word. If you're talking about bus drivers, soldiers, dare I say it, broadcasters, you can use the word equality, right?
Okay.
Because they are equally good at doing that job. Women can drive a bus, fire a rifle, or broadcast a programme, as you proved again this week. But this is a church that bases itself on the idea there were 12 apostles, they were all men, there was the Last Supper, and they were all men, and it bases itself that the descendants from Peter, the apostolic succession, I might tell you what they believe, you know, that's where it comes from. I don't think it's misogyny.
Best of luck to Peter having descendants without women. Pretty difficult to descend oneself without a womb in the picture. Like, I don't buy it. They pray to Holy Mary. Look, I'm not great at it, but there's a whole load of Mary prayers anyway. So Mary is clearly a guiding light of the Catholic Church. I know I'm such a Protestant. I don't even know how to do the rosary. But I mean, they have respected women from the get-go, and I think it's time to prove that and to show it for the right reasons.
Well, what do you think of that, George?
Like where Laura Dungan is concerned, like, you know, she comes in here and she knows on a Saturday morning she can get my dander up by 8:04. Do you know what I mean? And she's off again. But the other one, though, which I know the two of you will have me going mad, is the issue of sex education. And in Britain, I believe the bishops have come out with what?
So in Britain, the Church of England have said that the schools should be teaching that celibacy is a very right and possible way for people to go. So they should be teaching children, as well as normal sex education, they should be also teaching them that celibacy is something that they should support and potentially think about doing with their lives.
And are you in favour of that?
You're going to be really surprised here. I think that teaching, obviously the word celibacy, I think is awful. But I think that it's a really good idea to teach children that they don't have to have sex.
Correct, Teresa. We've got her
agreeing. Isn't it awfully dangerous as well to have sex? Isn't it awfully dangerous?
And
do children know enough? We're talking about children. Are these kids of 12, 13? What age?
Yeah, they're secondary school children. Yeah absolutely. So 12 to 18.
Well, I mean, the horse has bolted in some respects, hasn't it? But I mean, it's a good initiative.
Well, not celibacy, though.
Well, hang on a second. At that age, that there's so many other things that could be in their lives. I mean, do we know enough here? Do our young people here know about sexually transmitted disease? Is that...
Well, it needs to be taught from a lot earlier.
Absolutely.
Sex education is appallingly bad a lot of the time in this country. And I absolutely think that one of the... I mean, look, like nowadays everybody has premarital sex and it just happens. And
what do you mean everybody?
You can't say that either.
I'm talking to the two biggest virgins in the entire universe right here. So it's absolutely useless trying to converse with you.
Four children later. And how many do you have, George?
The Immaculate Conceptions. But I actually think this is something that's really important to me, because I think a lot of the time children are pressured into having sex early, not by a counterpart, not by a boyfriend, not by a girlfriend, but by society. They think that it's important to have sex and to get that done.
Because,
and it's like, tick a box.
Of the internet.
Because of a lot of reasons. I didn't have the internet when I was young, but I felt that
pressure. It's not a big factor now, though.
It probably is,
and isn't the average age where they're exposed to extreme content and porn is about 11 now.
Oh, God.
No,
grim.
But the thing I about this, I think, is that we're teaching sex. Now, obviously, I'm not a recipient because I'm not in school, but I have a rough idea because I had children who had it, you know. I always remember little Alison was about 12 years of age and I picked her up from school and she got into the car and she said, "Hi, Pop, I'm still a virgin."
Oh, my Lord.
Like, I don't think she even knew what she was talking about, you know. But here's the point. I think sex education is being taught as an athletic achievement. In other words, it's been taught about the mechanics of it and it's all about this is how you do it and the womb is here and there's something else is there and, you know, whereas what the bishops are trying to do, and I agree with you on celibacy, but I don't know a better word, what they're trying to say is, and Therese I think agrees, is that you have to talk about this for what it is, this great act of love between the man. Now, what we're creating, Teresa, I think, is that we are creating relationships between young boys and girls who don't see a love component. They almost see it like an athletic achievement.
I don't know about that. I don't know enough about it.
Well,
I just remember, though, where I went to school in St. Louis, the head nun there said at one stage to the whole assembly, "It is the most beautiful gift."
Yeah,
it is the most beautiful gift, and it's so precious, and you know, it shouldn't be used, you know, except in the most precious of relationships. Look, I mean, it's easy for me to say that. Of course, that's the ideal, and I think it's a very good initiative by.
Don't get me wrong. I have absolutely no issue with safe casual sex. No issue whatsoever.
You have no issue with safe casual sex?
Absolutely not.
I want to be clear here because I don't want to be.
I think if someone knows what they're getting into and they are aware of the repercussions, then absolutely go for it. I just think young children feeling like they have to do it just to get it done and tick a box. That's the problem. I'm sure there's plenty of people that people wish they'd never had sex with. And I think that's the thing. Think about it before you do it. Maybe you don't actually want to.
And
that's
remember,
the thing.
It's illegal.
Absolutely, under certain
17.
Ages. And exactly.
I just wish, I mean, I personally, I wish safe casual sex was around in my time. I mean, but nevertheless, Lara, I am astonished.
Are you really?
I am. I'm astonished at, I suppose, your liberality. That
are you really? I think sex can be empowering and wonderful.
No, on my word of honour, without any kind of messing around, I am hugely surprised by your attitude that you would say safe casual sex is okay. I bet you wouldn't say it 17 years hence when your girl is going down to Wesley.
But that's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about youth. I think that with a bit of age comes wisdom. I think a 26-year-old who's had a few relationships in the past, meets a guy out in a bar and wants to have sex and does it in a safe manner, should absolutely be allowed to do it. But I think the problem is younger children don't really know.
Tracy, you're gobsmacked. I'm not at all.
And never call him again if she doesn't want to.
I'm letting Lara present this program and answer all the questions too. It's great.
Teresa, what do you think about that?
I'm having a nice cup of tea here.
No, what do you think? Right. I know you're upset now that I didn't let you present the program, but go on.
You present it next week.
Anybody but me would appear to be the story.
That's kind of what we've always said, George.
Are you not appalled, as a good Louis Rathmines girl, are you not appalled at Lara's safe casual sex is okay remark?
I still love you if you are, don't worry.
I absolutely love Lara Dungan. Dr. Lara Dungan, I think she's messing with you. To be honest,
I can't believe you both think I'm very
conservative, and I think she loves young people, and she probably thinks this is a brilliant idea. That's what I really think.
No, I think the other reason here, it's just struck me. I hadn't thought of it, and just literally the second, like a bolt from the blue, it has hit me.
Smoke coming out of your ears.
No, because she's a Protestant, she doesn't have to go to confession. So, like, it's okay though. Whereas, like, for me, if I did it, I'd have to face the music on Saturday night. Bless me, Father, for I've sinned. I had six casual sexes during the week.
Well, it's worse if you're married, of course. You know,
you're going to subdivide them into casual sexes. One unit of casual sex, 2 units of casual sex.
It's like drink. 2.4 units a week is safe.
George, you're wild with shock, aren't you?
Poor George. George, I think you need to move on to the next topic before you have a little, you blow a gasket on this one.
Teresa Lowe,
I think he wants to stay
Teresa
here.
Lowe, I'd like you to present the
Please
next
Please tell me
topic.
I don't have to talk about beach parties and ice skating on College Green. Please. I've had to talk about Chinese takeaways.
Off you go.
Okay. Chinese takeaways. I don't particularly like Chinese takeaways, okay, but I have a family that live for it. Okay. And I know over the last few, there's action on salt. There's always action on something. This is action on salt.
Such a good name.
And what they did was they analysed, this group analysed London Chinatown takeaway menus for the presence of salt.
Okay.
And you see, all of us are used to, aren't we? When we go into supermarkets, we see no sugar, no salt and all these products. And there's 40% less salt in bread now and all that sort of thing. But I still, it is still quite shocking, certainly as far as the London takeaways are concerned, with the level of salt, the amount of salt and Lara, of course, but you don't even need to be a doctor.
Why are you worried about it?
It's because of strokes and heart disease.
No,
and all that.
That's...
No.
Yes. Well, I'll let you finish.
Do you eat Chinese?
Well, A, I eat Chinese. And B, I'm a classic Irishman of my generation who put salt and pepper on the food before we even taste it.
I mean, I bet you have sea salt or low salt.
No, I don't. I have the good old fashioned stuff that came in from wherever it comes, and I go, then I get the pepper and I go.
What's your blood pressure, George? Not right now after the sex conversation. what was it? What was it when you got up this morning, I wonder?
My blood pressure, my cholesterol. All the numbers for me are great.
Good.
Are you on any blood pressure medications at all?
Certainly not.
That's pretty good at 76. I have to admit, that's very
good. No, I have an irregular heartbeat.
Yes. So you're on a blood thinner, but not a blood pressure medication.
Which hasn't been helped by today.
Yes, exactly.
But like this, all the people I know who died early, right? All my mates who died early had fat-free diets, no salt, ran a marathon, did all that sort of stuff. And then a fellow who was drinking 10 pints every night lived to be 100.
Maybe they would have died earlier if they hadn't been healthy.
No, the angel Gabriel, it's a very simple system. The angel Gabriel is up at the gates of heaven. It's a ledger. And he writes in, George Hook, 86, Teresa Lowe, 102, Lara Dungan, we're not having her in here, so she doesn't count. And so on. So there's a date in which you're going to pop your clogs. And it doesn't matter what you eat or drink, Lara.
You're now doing this to aggravate me, I think. This is like the exact opposite of the previous conversation. You are entirely wrong. You're ludicrous and you're archaic, George. This is mental. What you're saying is that there's no element for clean living in longevity. Salt is horrendously bad for you, taken in too much. Now, some people have very low blood pressure and some of those people do need to take a little bit more salt. But they are the rarity by such a long shot. Some of these Chinese meals have 6 grams of salt in just the meal, and that's your allowance for the whole day. Then you add in the fried rice and you're doubling it. You're going to raise your blood pressure, you're going to have a stroke or heart attack, and you're going to, if you're lucky, die. If you're not so lucky, be paralysed for the rest of your life.
Well, I met a fella during the week and we were talking about the first Chinese restaurant in Dublin. It was on the first floor in O'Connell Street and it was 2 and 6 pence for lunch. And I've been eating Chinese food since 1960, April, when I came up from Cork and I saw my first Chinese restaurant. And like, I salt and pepper and all the routine in our house, when we have the English dinner, I put the two of them now next to the plate and off I go. And that's nonsense. But I want to say this. Can I present this one?
Please do.
Do.
You know the city is jammed now because some idiot has decided to have a plaza in College Green. He doesn't want any buses. He doesn't want any taxis. He doesn't want anything. And then the architect certainly must be having too much salt. There's no doubt. He said, no buses, because we want to have beach parties during the summer in College Green. And in the wintertime, we want a skating rink.
Well, his name is Architect Paul Kyo, and I personally love him. I think it's a phenomenally good idea. We did an episode of EcoEye this year where we went to Utrecht, which is just south of Amsterdam, and they started by pedestrianising one street, and all of the shop owners went mental, saying, you're not going to do this, we'll lose footfall, we'll lose footfall. And after about a year, all of the other streets were begging them to pedestrianise.
But was
the streets.
It the main street in Utrecht? It,
absolutely.
It was
you,
not.
You go into the centre of Utrecht.
Was it now, O'Connell Street, Utrecht, in other words?
In fairness, in some of the main streets, they still do let taxis and buses. But in most of these little streets, it's just cycling and it's just walking.
Or it's cycling. All bikes. And I saw that show.
We're allowing cycling in this as well. Thank you for watching.
I turned it on. And you know what was great? I didn't turn it off. I kept it on. It was great. But they were all on bikes, weren't they? They're all on bikes. Yeah. I mean, we don't... Look, what's this about? Beach parties here in Ireland?
But do you not think a big open space where we can actually have like a nice drink in the middle of town, does that not sound gloriously lovely to you?
No.
And people walking by
I'm
all the shops,
no.
having outdoor terraces, an actual space. Every other European city is built around squares. We built everything around streets
we
and
don't
closeness.
Have the transport to get there.
That's the point.
To get into the city centre. It's shocking. I mean, the amount of time, the amount of... Well, you're lucky that you're on the Lewis.
I'm not. I'm
you're near
a
Lewis.
Middle of nowhere.
You're very lucky. Yeah. If you're living... Most people are commuting now and they're miles away.
Thanks, Teresa, you can definitely present next week's program.
No, it's okay. You're trying to make up to me now. I want to be disgruntled. It makes a change.
Well, I mean, I might want to make up to you, but there is no question of me having 2.4 units of that casual stuff. That Lara was talking about.
Yeah,
I forgot there's children listening
or
at this
time.
Actually.
No percentage. No 8 percentage.
8 o'clock this morning, as children could throw in their teamy bobs out.
They're on their way into the parade, and I'm after talking about casual sex to them.
I forgot all about it being St. Patrick's Day today. Yeah. You put that out of my head, both of you.
I can guarantee you there's a certain amount of units of casual sex that will happen tonight after the Paddy's Day festivities. I don't want to tell you
Saint
how many.
St. Patrick's Day.
Excuse me, St. Patrick's Day festivities.
Did I ever tell you about the time that I reported from the St. Patrick's Day parade?
Oh,
on O'Connell Street
for
RTE.
Go away!
And I had to. I was interviewing various people, including Charlie Haughey.
Oh.
I was told, right, you're on. And as I spoke to him, a brass band went by, and the whole thing was him roaring, I can't hear, I can't, we'll do it later. I don't think he realised it was live, but we did do it, and he was very charming the
all
next
right.
time.
Oh my gosh. Well, I hope you're having a great St. Patrick's Day. I've got Lara Dunglan and Teresa Lowe. I was at the rugby last weekend, and a bunch of fellas from Killarney Rugby Football Club came up to me and said that Lara Dunglan and Teresa Lowe were the best thing on Irish radio. So, ladies, you're big.
Who's this guy? Can we have his name?
No, not a guy. A whole bunch of them.
A bunch.
Killarney Rugby
Football Club. You're a big
plumber,
I don't believe you for a second.
He gave me a thing, look.
Let me see.
He does
he
have a
wristband.
Sorry, I'm a barrister. I need proof. What's
he gave me a wristband.
Killarney RFC.
Yeah,
that's absolute proof. Surely as a barrister, we can see your bracelet
all right,
is proof.
Of course he did.
I have talked to David Quinn in a moment about 2.4 units of casual, whatever you call it.